Alzheimer's, What They Forget to Tell You,
episode 12.
But really 11.
Well, podcast 11. Yeah, we had a little mishap last week, so we're making it up this week. Yes. Hello. We're back again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nice to see you all.
Yeah, tons.
Okay, so we're going to make this quick because I've noticed last week and the week before, I felt like as much as, hi Bill, I feel like I know you now through Karen. So as much as I feel like, you know, as many of you guys have inboxed us and let us know your thoughts about the podcast and stuff, I just felt like they're dragging a little bit, just a little too long. So let's just get to the meat and potatoes.
I think you just like to say that.
Well, because that's really what people want, meat and potatoes. Who wants the frilly, frilly, lacy, lacy?
Oh, no. Not again. Some people like that.
What? My robot dance or the frilly, frilly?
Is your drink on my book?
I'm so sorry.
It's not a coaster. Oh, my God.
Her book.
Oh.
My aunt. Her mama, my aunt, her mama.
They got it. They got the connection.
Okay, so you can get this on Amazon. Chapters.
Barnes and Noble.
For how much?
We just checked Chapters. It's $25.95.
Yes, but for everybody today that is interested in purchasing a book, what are you willing to do?
$20.
$20.
And I will sign it.
Okay, so a personal signed copy of your own book of Karen's journey with Alzheimer's and her mom. Inbox her right after the podcast or throughout, whatever. Leave your name, your information, e-transfer, PayPal, whatever it is that you want to do. $20. It's a steal. It's a great read. And especially for people that are going through this journey, very informative, a lot of research. There's a lot of stuff that you can get from this book. Again, get it. Okay, so today.
Wayne says he has Debbie's. That's cheating, Wayne. You need your own copy.
He's got the family connection. He's my brother, y'all. Yeah, he got the family connection. He's good. So today, we are going to cover just a few things. We're not going to make it too long. Like she was telling me before, the meat and potatoes is important. And of course it's that. Because who doesn't like the meat and potatoes? Who wants the salad? No one. Okay, so. Reluctantly. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be a good idea to talk about what has recently taken place. Karen didn't want to, but.
No, I didn't.
I think it's a great idea to talk about real life because this is what she's living. This is what we're all living. This is what we're living. We're living right now. Yesterday, my aunt, her mama, had another seizure. Fortunately.
Thanks, Teresa.
I say fortunately because I'm being selfish in saying that I've never had to personally experience what that is, what it looks like, what it is watching your loved one go through that. But when I received the text and the call yesterday that she was having yet another seizure, my heart dropped. And you never quite know if this is it, if it's the final one, if it's just another one on the list of many. But I think it's important that you talk about that because if she's going through this as frequently as she is, then I'm sure this is going to be able to touch or speak to somebody else that's going through something similar than you are. So reluctantly, let's try and cover this subject and we can move on to something else.
That's the other part of this. So I didn't even know seizures were a part of Alzheimer's. It makes sense when you kind of figure out the complexities of the brain, right? That neurologically, yes, it would make sense that you would probably suffer from seizures because of the neurons aren't connecting. However, unfortunately, I've witnessed far too many with my mom, and none of it doesn't get any easier. It's worse actually now, because I'm always not certain if it will be the last one, and then she won't recover, and it's very traumatizing. In the past, she used to get them either late at night or very, very early in the morning. So sometimes I was awoken by knowing that she was having a seizure, which
is completely nerve-wracking and traumatizing in itself. I can't even imagine.
So I had to be, it obviously affected my sleep patterns. So I was on sleeping pills for like 5 years. And it's only been, I'd say, maybe 5 months that I don't take anything to sleep now. And I just try to sleep on my own. But it's very difficult.
Yeah.
So,
Can you give me an idea, being ignorant to the situation, how long does a seizure last? Or are there different, what triggers a seizure? Or does it just come on? You never know, or there's certain things that happen, and then all of a sudden you can see it actually coming into play, and what happens afterwards, and talk about that.
Yeah, that's the hard part, because I think typically, not that I'm an expert on seizures, but I think typically it's easier to deal with a seizure because you could speak to the person and say, okay, what those same questions. What did you feel before? What do you feel after? What do you feel during? And you can kind of diagnose like that. But with my mom, she's nonverbal. So you don't have that cue of, well, is it coming on now? How are you feeling? So we don't know. We have no clue on how she suffers these seizures. And due to that, there's no way I'm putting her on medication to combat the seizures, because we don't know how to help her when she's going through it. So we just have to deal with it.
So when she's experiencing one,
mm-hmm.
give me an idea of how long it generally takes for her to go through the entire thing.
The whole thing usually typically lasts maybe 5 minutes.
Okay, and that's
from
long.
Beginning to end.
That's
where she completely comes out of it, and then she's completely exhausted. And of course, can't tell us, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes is an eternity when you're watching somebody go through that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can't help. You don't know what to do. But they're not grand mal seizures, so it's not like convulsing. It's a mild seizure, I would say.
Okay. But you know she's in distress.
Yeah.
You know she's...
Yeah, you can definitely tell she's having one. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so after it's all said and done, what do you experience? What is her demeanor? How is she? Is she just wanting to sleep?
Yeah,
is she
very wiped out, just wants to sleep. Probably it affects her appetite. She probably won't eat for maybe until the evening if she has it in the morning. Appetite's completely gone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like now that she's in the end stages of the disease that the seizures are happening more frequently, or do you feel like they're happening the same kind of, you know what I'm saying? Is it more now that she's getting further along?
Yeah, that's the other thing. I thought, because that's how she ended up in palliative, right? 2 years ago. She had a very bad seizure, and she was non-responsive, so she had to be rushed to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the doctor had told me that she would probably, that's how she'll pass, where the seizures will just continuously get worse, and then she probably would just have a major seizure, and then that will be it. But it hasn't, of course, hasn't done that. So her last seizure was December 11th, and then she just had one.
Okay. Okay. And would you say, or would you categorize it the same intensity?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you know the difference between when she's having a big one versus just this is kind of,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any stats in terms of your experience? Like, would she have one a month, two a month? Is it?
Yeah. Like some, there were times where she was having it like every 3 weeks. And then, you know, you brace yourself. Like, it's always like that. Like, I brace myself. Okay. You know, this is going to happen. She's just going to have these. So, like, you know, try to, as much as...
Prepare
like,
yourself
yeah, like,
for
like,
it.
How
yeah.
do you, I don't, you can never, like, you're like, okay, yeah. You know, but...
Thank you so much, Karen, for sharing your story. It must be so hard for you, but I thank you for helping me and everyone else. You're a great inspiration.
Aw, thank you. Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah. So, and I'm glad to see messages like this because this is exactly why I agreed to do this. As long as I know this message is getting out to people and it's helping in their own personal experiences and journeys, then it's all worth it. So.
Well, it's very difficult to talk about because it's so close to home, right? You're not talking about a stranger.
Yeah.
And you're witnessing it. So, and it, I, you know, like I have to prepare myself because it's coming. Like every day I'm like, okay, is it today? And as much as I go, is it today? It really, I think about it, that's a serious thing.
Well, there's something, don't they call that post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah, I suffered definitely from that for sure.
Again, like not to always bring it back to my dad, but I try to make comparisons.
It's good too.
You know, when he was going through that ordeal before he passed in the hospital, I was with him for the week, and I just remember there were certain triggers that were happening, like the sound of the bell or the monitor
mm-hmm.
in his room. So I would get so used to hearing the consistency of his monitor that as soon as something different would happen, it would trigger me, like, oh, what's going on? Or if the beeping sound would happen, it instantly would make my heart race. Or there were just certain things that, you know, you just, like in your own psyche, you can't forget. And even now, it's been 2 years since he's been gone, and walking into a hospital, even just for
mm-hmm.
a checkup
I was
with my kids,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, my son just had a checkup in the hospital for some respiratory things. And I remember walking in and just hearing the PA, you know, code blue or code white or code whatever, or just hearing the beeps and the sounds. It brought me right back. It's like it just, there's certain things your brain does not omit and delete. And it's so visceral and so real that I can't imagine you having to deal with that on a daily basis every single day. It's...
Yeah, it's like... And it's
jerking.
And you
yeah.
know. You know how that feeling is. It's like you're constantly like...
On edge.
Like para...
Yep.
Like you're paralyzed.
Yep.
But yet you know you have to do something. You have to act, but you're like...
You don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You freeze.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a situation where it's like...
And it's
yeah.
worse for my mom because she has a DNR, which is a do not resuscitate. So if anything happens, we're not calling any emergency people to assist. So that's even more of a real life, like life or death situation, right?
This is it.
If this is the last thing, this is it. There's nobody coming to do anything. So that's, I think, another reason too, what makes it harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, hopefully, I don't know, it's sad to say, but I hope it follows the natural progression, which is the last stage is she'll just forget how to swallow. And I just hope that's how she goes. Like, I hope it's not a seizure. So I don't want to think of her in any type of distress.
I know.
Because if she doesn't swallow, she'll probably be on morphine. And then she'll just drift. That's more peaceful, I think. Those are the realities of what I go through.
It's deep. And it's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's life, and it's reality for a lot of people. And again, like I said in the last podcast, it's like you really don't have a clue until you go through it. Until you walk through something like this, or you deal with loss, or you experience loss, you have no idea what the person at work beside you is dealing with, what the person, you know, in the at the stop sign, or across the street, or in the mall, or you just don't know what people are facing. And it's just a constant reminder to be kind, because we all have shitty days. I apologize for the language, but we do. We all have bad days, and we all have things that are going on in life. Life is happening to all of us. And, you know, we have good days, we have bad days, but you just never know what the person beside you is actually facing or going through, and what they have to wake up and deal with in a day, or what they have to go home and deal with in a day. And, you know, yeah, we could sit here and talk about how, you know, we went to a store and our experience was terrible because the cashier was in a mood, and this person was in a foul mood, and this person was feisty, and this person was... But you just don't know what they're dealing with, you know? And a little kindness goes a long way, especially when you're dealing with something like this in a family or with a loved one, or, you know, just life itself. It's important to be kind, because you never know when karma, and I don't know if it's a karma thing, but when life is really going to come and give you your own slice of whatever it is that you need to deal with, you know? Compassion goes a long way. Empathy goes a long way. Understanding goes a long way. Research goes a long way. Communication goes a long way. Talking to somebody, reaching out, and just being there for someone.
And sharing, because, like, you know, as hard as it is to talk, it's good to share, because it can help somebody else, right?
Yeah. And these type of situations I find is so isolating for the person going through it, for the caregiver, because you feel alone. You know, you have so much to deal with and so much of a burden to carry that it's not something that you want to go and talk to, you know, your coworkers with at work, or...
Especially if you're private. I'm typically a private person, so you don't want to go and share that, you know. And you don't want to be... I'm a big believer of, I don't want to be a charity case. Just like Jalen had said that in a previous podcast, where he said he doesn't even want to tell his friend... He doesn't want his friends to see his grandmother, because he doesn't want people to feel sorry for him. Like, he doesn't want to change that
the
relationship
yeah.
of his friends. And I totally agree. You don't want, oh, how's your mom? Like, I hate, by the way, this just in.
News at, what time is it? 7.
I don't know how anyone else feels about this, but the worst thing you can ask me is, how's my mom? And I am always sarcastic. Oh, she's in Milan touring. Come on.
But it's one of those situations that you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because if you don't, then it comes across like, okay, well, there's an elephant in the room, and obviously I care, and I care enough to know, I want to know, how is your mom? But then I don't want it to be that main focus of, let's talk about your mom, what's going on with your mom,
Especially my mom. She's actively dying. So that question is so frustrating.
So would you rather somebody say, how are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fair.
That is exactly what I'd rather.
That's fair.
Because my mom is just doing her journey, and I'm assisting her on her
journey.
And it's
the same thing when you experience loss. And again, with my dad, a lot of people, if they weren't there to be with me throughout the experience afterwards, they didn't know how to approach or talk about it. So it was almost like some friends that I expected to be there for me weren't, and that was an eye-opener. And some people that I never thought in a million years that would even care were right by my side. So it was very, I found a lot of people either absolutely knew how to support me, and on the other side of it, absolutely had no idea. So they just avoided the situation altogether. And it just, there was this separation where it was like, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to deal with you. I'm not sure what to say. So I'm just going to pretend, like, you know, and again, as the person going through it, like you say, the worst thing you can do is ask me about my mom. But the people who are beside you and wanting to support you feel like that could be probably what they need to be saying to you. So you never quite know what to do. It's tricky, you know? Like, when you deal with this type of journey, or you deal with death, or you deal with anything that people are not comfortable with, they don't know how to approach it, you know? That's at least been my experience since I dealt with the loss of my dad.
I guess because it's like this disease is a neurological disease. So the brain, you know, it's so challenging to deal with it on a day-to-day basis. So I guess when you finish a day of caregiving, of actively caregiving, you know, you're so exhausted, you feel so guilty, you know, and then the person comes along and goes, "How's your mom?"
You're like, that's the last thing I want to talk about. Yeah, for sure. Let's read what Bill has to say. Karen, I thank you so much for your story. I'm going through this with my mom now. It's so hard. I am an only child, and I am the only one helping my mom, but it's nice to know you're doing good work, helping everyone, but especially helping your mom. So, and then he turned around and asked you, Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in. Like my mom, she's hanging in. We're both hanging in.
Mm-hmm. But I will say this, and I spoke to my mom about this today. My mom is her mom's sister.
My godmother.
Right. Can't forget that. You know, she's, most people will look at her situation and be like, wow, because she's one of those statistics that totally just bypassed all encyclopedia definitions and research and whatever. Like, this woman is, the way she was in life is the way that she's going out in her life. Like, she...
Hi, Auntie Jill.
Hi, Mommy. So we were just talking about you. We just said, you know, as we were talking today, that, you know, Auntie Marlene is literally taking her time. It's not, she's not doing this on anybody else's time. This is her journey, and she's not going to be rushed. She's not going to be told. She's not going
to
be...
keep trying to guess.
Yeah, no. She's going to do this on her
she's
time.
She's going to be
Guinness. Yes. So, palliative care, what is that? That's 2 to 5 months? She's like, no. This is 2 years and counting. Let's do 5 years. Let's do 10. You know, Alzheimer's, this is my 18th year. Like, this is my aunt. The way that she was in life is the way that she's going out with her life. So... does it surprise me? Not one bit, but at the same time.
She used to say to us when we were growing up, "You're trying to drive me crazy? You're going first." See?
This is a woman that only did stuff on her clock. So this, the way that she's going out is in her style, on her time, in her way. And I respect it completely. Although we don't understand it, it's not for us to understand because it's her journey, you know? So I feel like everybody else that is experiencing this with their families, their loved ones, their parents, their spouses, whatever, you know, you read these things that the doctors tell you. You have, you know, 2 to 4 years. You have 6 months to live. You have this, you have that. All of that stuff, you really cannot predict somebody's journey or somebody's lifeline. It's up to them and it's up to our Creator. Like, we're just here to experience it, to support, to love, to do whatever we can do as family. But everybody's journey is so unique and so different that you cannot look at a piece of paper or a dictation from a doctor and just use that as Bible. It just...
Well, I was just saying that. I just read The End of Life. When you're typically in what my mom is in palliative, you have 6 months. And I'm laughing because I'm like, 6 months?
You haven't met Marlene. Yeah, 6 months what? She's like, right. No. I got a little bit more time to go. Yeah, so
yeah,
that's kind of what I wanted to cover today. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to talk about.
No.
But again, like I said previously, if there's any questions, concerns, comments, whatever, inbox. You know, we would love to read all of these things and maybe cover it in the next podcast. If it helps you or helps your family member or helps a friend or whatever, you know, this is why we're doing it.
Like, I guess what I would like to know too is how, as much as, and you know, these are very kind words, it's, oh, they are helpful. I was just going to ask you that, like, how are they helpful? Like, what do you get from the podcast in terms of it helping you? Is it just information or just feeling maybe that you're not alone? Because that's also, caregiving is very isolating. It's very depressing. And your friends can't understand, and it's not their fault. It's just, like my cousin said, unless you're going through it, it's hard to explain. And with Alzheimer's, it's so challenging. And it's minute to minute, hour to hour. And it's unlike any other disease, because it's the brain, right? So to explain that to somebody it's hard. And a lot of the stuff, it's not very glamorous, the things that you have to do on a day-to-day basis. I know, because there's incontinent issues. There's a lot of really hard things that you have to go through as a caregiver. And then you do feel guilty because you're human. So it's normal. Okay. She's giving me the...
I just don't want to... You know, I want to keep it like the meat and potatoes. Like everybody just wants the good stuff on the plate, right? I just want to kind of get to what we need to get to.
Yeah. And I think we covered...
Yeah. And again... we're so open. So again, if you guys feel like there's anything that, you know, you have questions, concerns, you want anything covered, you want to ask, you want to know, if we can help, my gosh, just inbox, leave a message or leave a comment, and, you know, we'll definitely have it covered the next time that, you know, we come together and do this. It's for you guys, and it's really for her. It's healing, and it's understanding, and it's communication, and it's just coming together to support, because it's such an isolating disease, you know?
And
so
awareness, and to bring light, like I said, this platform is not, obviously it's not for the person who suffers from Alzheimer's, because I don't. It's for the person who is caregiving for that person. It's such a challenging job. So, and I know all about it. On very different, we could talk about the other being part of the sandwich generation, because that's also interesting.
Maybe the next time.
The next time we'll talk about that.
So we have another comment here. What or who are is Debbie's? Is that Nikki?
Yeah.
Nikki. Debbie is my sister. Wayne is my brother. So Karen gave my sister a copy of her book, and so my brother said, "No worries, I got Debbie's book."
And I said
Debbie's
he's
copy.
Cheating because he could get his own copy.
If that makes sense. It's all in the family. Yes. So again, just so that we can cover that again, just give information about the book so people understand or overstand exactly where they can get it, how to get it, or inbox Karen.
Well, I'm going to put an order in, so I guess I'll put some details on that.
Okay. And then you can put the details in the comments below so that everyone knows exactly where they can go to get this book.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate all the support that you guys are giving us, all the inbox messages. They don't go unread or unnoticed. We're grateful for all of you that take the time out to view us and leave comments and leave all of your concerns and your questions and stuff. We appreciate you all.
Oh, she just thought it was a disease.
No.
It's a person.
It's my sister. Don't tell her that. So.
So, are you going to do like your normal?
No, that was in the beginning. You guys missed it. If you didn't tune in the beginning, you missed it. Like, this
you
is
just,
why.
You just did it. You just did it. Again.
Fraction. They didn't get the full effect. Okay, so we're going to sign off. Yes?
Yes.
All right, and we will see you guys. We'll check you guys next week. That was my phone, by the way. I didn't pass gas, I promise. We will check you guys. We'll check you guys next week. Love you too, Wayne.
Want to say goodbye?
Good night, Nikki.
Come
my little one, my little daughter here wants to say good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. We will see you next week. Peace, love, blessings.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Peace, love, and blessings.
Okay.
We'll check you soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right, shower time. Let's go.